No, I don't think that's exactly how it worked, but close enough.
So is Chris just like...
Not sure. He did. Did you see the post he made on the name of the last episode?
I did. Yeah.
Yes, John. I do listen to the episodes.
Love Chris.
I listened to that episode. And I was just like, if I say yeah one more fucking time, swear to God.
So
I need you guys to sit there with a squirt bottle, and every time I just say something that just does not add to the conversation, or just yeah,
positive reinforcement with negative consequences. Welcome to Name Redacted Podcast. Gonna sing the intro. As always,
that's a first.
It is. As always, I am Alexander Fulmer. This week, only one of the usual co-hosts that's not a sometimes happy in and out co-host, not co-host, frequent guest, infrequent host, John Thomas.
Yes.
That was a really long description that really didn't do much, but I
stopped listening after the first three words.
I just felt like I needed to keep going. So, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm Colin.
That's Colin.
I'm eating. I'm sorry.
He got Zaxby's in his dome.
Yep. I needed it.
Yep.
Well, that was adding something to the conversation. I'm not just...
Not hardly.
Not even. So, this week, we are short Chris.
Yes.
He had a show last night. He's probably hungover at home, asleep-ish. More than likely, which is a real bummer because he now only lives like 10 minutes from here.
Yeah,
so it's even easier for him to get here.
Go to his house and just bang on his door.
But we unfortunately don't have time for that because this is actually going to be a very, very brief episode too. Yeah.
And this is my last episode before I go on vacation.
Yeah, going up to Florida.
So I'll be gone
next week,
one Sunday.
Yeah,
but I should be back on the 25th. Yeah.
And we're going to start ramping up a couple more guests here soon. John Del Sneed will be joining us shortly. I talked to him recently. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's a local comic book artist who's been working very diligently at getting a lot of his artwork into like DC and Marvel. And he works for Tsunami Studios, so he works with Kelly Yates and John and Wacky and all them.
Okay, I was wondering who he worked for because I've seen him at bunches of cons, but I didn't know
he works for Tsunami.
Which umbrella he fell
under? For those of you who don't know, Tsunami does Doctor Who, Transformers. I think they still do G.I. Joe.
Do they do it under IDW?
They do it under IDW. Okay. Like they publish for IDW is the publisher. Tsunami is the art studio that makes.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's a weird. It's kind of. I don't know exactly how to describe it. Like I guess it's they kind of not auction out the work, but kind of like subcontract out the work a little bit.
The way I kind of look at it is like a video game. Like you have developers and then you have the publisher.
Mm.
So.
So that's who he works for. Really, really, really nice guy. He's done a few sketches for me. All of them are fantastic. He's working on a really good. Yeah, he's working on a second Hellboy sketch for me. So he'll be on soon because he actually lives probably within 20 minutes of my house.
That's pretty neat. We've got such a good little community of.
The nerd bubble here is fantastic in Piedmont. Like, it really is. And, I mean, I guess it's kind of understandable considering Comic Book City, USA, is Greensboro, which is something that small of a, like, or a city that small being named that in the entire country is pretty significant, I feel. At least, I would never have seen it coming.
Winston's too cool for it.
Winston's a little bit too old money.
Absolutely, I would agree with that.
I think even if they were offered that name, that the powers that be in Winston would be like, no,
yeah,
we want nothing to do with this.
We're the city of arts and innovation, and...
And comic books aren't art.
Nope.
No, for Christ's sake.
No, nor innovative.
No.
We're too busy...
Corporate gianting everything.
We're too busy gentrifying everything and trying to charge... $1,200 for a 700-square-foot apartment right outside of I-40 and Ardmore.
The fucking ridiculous. Like, I saw that, and I was like, I would never pay $1,200 to live in a tiny apartment that overlooks a fucking highway.
You're talking about that building we saw? The
Edge Flats?
The one time you were like, are those apartments? And I was like, surely that's like an office.
Yeah.
Like,
when it was first getting built, John and I drove by it one day, and I was like, I don't know what those are. And John was like, well, since the 6th of the highway, it's probably an office. And then it was like, the Edge apartments. And I was like, no. Yeah.
They're about to level the place that I live.
Yeah.
And turn it into upscale, mixed-use residential commercial for shopping, dining, and living. And I'm like, there's already too much shit over there. It's
a
dorm.
They're turning it into dorms.
There's too much shit over there.
Yeah.
We don't need another grocery store or another boutique.
Okay, like, just...
There's a Publix getting built.
Just as a small reference for people who probably don't know the area we're talking about, there's an area in Winston-Salem called Ardmore that right now, well, within the next year, we'll have, within four blocks, we'll have 7 grocery stores.
7 grocery stores, 3 Starbucks, several various and sundry...
3 strip malls.
3 strip malls. A hospital.
Yeah. And then, and if you broaden that by another 4 blocks, you get the second hospital, as well as the mall itself.
Yeah. And then not to mention the Walmart grocery store that it's not even included in the other grocery stores.
It's too many.
P.F. Chang's opens tomorrow.
I'm actually not excited at all about that because I'm not a fan of P.F. Chang's.
I haven't eaten it. I'm going to give it a shot and see where I land. But I mean, it's going to be, it's white people Chinese food.
It's just fine, but you'll spend more money for just fine food than you really ought to.
Okay. I think that's probably a fair assessment.
First of all, I don't believe in spending a lot of money on Chinese food in America because why? Because it's Chinese food?
Yeah.
Like,
it's cornstarch, peppers.
Like, regardless of how much you fucking doll that shit up, it's still...
Don't church it up, boy. That's dirt.
Yeah, it's still dirt food.
Yeah.
And
not representative at all.
Of China, no. Real Chinese food is not like that. Like, most, at least not in the...
Most Americans wouldn't touch it, real Chinese food.
It's not something that I would ever, ever pay fucking high dollar for. As much as I love crab rangoon, I'm not going to fucking shell out $12.50 for a plate of it. Mm-hmm. Like, go fuck yourself. I'm going to go down to Hunan's.
Does it come with a hand job?
Yeah, I don't agree with that idea.
I would say the one caveat I would make to your statement is if you go to a fine dining place that does, different types of Asian food... Usually if they have, a Chinese-style dish, there's, an interesting take on it
that's worth eating.
The fusion thing, I'll give you, will usually spawn something worth trying. But, if P.F. Chang's, just the idea of it itself just makes me go, I have no interest in this.
Yeah.
Because I had to go once, because, that's when we went last year to NC Comic-Con, we went with Mike and Bryn. And Todd and Todd's wife, who I'm blanking on her name right now, and I'm so sorry.
Hold on.
I've only met her twice.
Cat.
That's right, Cat.
I almost said the devil word because I always think
because she looks just like...
Cat looks just like a very well-known, very popular actress and hates being compared to her, so I'm not going to say...
She legitimately looks like almost dead on.
Yeah. I had to do a double take when I saw a picture of them at a con. I was like when was she there? Was she there promoting something? Or?
So I went last year with, Chris joined us, and we went to P.F. Chang's, and I'd never been before. And I was like, fuck it, I'll go once. And, it's still, I was like, oh, fucking orange chicken.
In Durham, not necessarily Durham, but in Raleigh, right by NC State campus, there's a fantastic Chinese fusion place called David's. It's David's Dumplings, and it is absolutely fantastic.
See, we were in Durham.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's where the con is. But
what is it with you, going to cons and getting roped into going to restaurants?
To places I don't want to go. I told him the story about us going to Buffalo Wild Wings when I really had intention of going. That was
the most single frustrating experience I've ever had at a con.
Because Chris and I, and not to put anyone under the bus here or anything, Chris and I were really trying to be at Five Guys. You really wanted to go across to Buffalo Wild Wings.
I did, yeah.
And
it was
Rob
hot.
Said, but you were open about it. You were I wanted to come here. Whereas Rob was Rob leans over to me and goes, I'm not going to eat at fucking Five Guys. I want to go over to Buffalo Wild Wings. That's the only way I'm eating. And then we get over there, and Rob's like, I didn't want to come here. And I was like, don't lie. That's why I sat there kind of giggling the whole time when you guys were talking to the waitress and the manager, as I was Oh my god. Like, Rob's just gonna keep talking so he can get out of this, but like, it clearly was Rob's decision.
I felt, well, number one, it was sweltering in Five Guys. I was about to die.
It was really hot in there, I'll give you that. It was definitely
there
hot.
There was not enough room to seat all of us because we had people sitting, there were like two people sitting at a five top.
Yeah.
And we're just like, fucking move, because it's like, well, and then we went over there for Matari's benefit, and then it turned out,
and then they sat somewhere else.
And then Matari is like, oh, we gotta get back for the charity auction, we'll see y'all later. So it's just us, and I'm like,
yeah,
fuck
yeah. Yes. Like, so that whole experience just didn't go well. But yeah, like, John's right. I do get, like, I end up getting roped into going.
You really
to,
do, yeah.
Going to places else.
So at NC Comic Con and Heroes next year, you get to pick Night 2's dinner.
Awesome.
Whether that be peanut butter and jelly in the hotel room.
Which it might be. It might be. Like,
safest bet.
Safest, like, because I trust PB&J.
I do too. Like,
but no, I'm definitely down with that. But we actually, there's something that's that Colin and I wanted to bring up. We're just going to touch on it very, very briefly. Since I just mentioned Mike and Bryn, our friends Michael Watkins and Bryn Oliver, who we've known for quite some time, who work in the industry, they run Highburn Studios. Bryn just passed away, not this last week, but the week before, and we just wanted...
Very, very, very unexpectedly.
Yeah, and Chris and I had just seen her 2 days prior, so it was very strange, I don't know from Chris's end, but from my end, very, very odd, being like, no, I just saw that person, so they're clearly still around.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say, like, we... Trisha and I, my girlfriend, we went out yesterday to go see Michael and Michael's daughter, Nat, at the Comic-Con in Roanoke, Virginia. And it was actually a really fun experience, and I was really glad that I got to go see Mike and Nat. And I just wanted to take this time, and I know Colin wants to do this as well, to give our condolences, to say how much we loved and appreciated Bryn and everything she did for us and everything she was as a person and everything she'll continue to be for us as a person, whether she's here or not. I still love her to death.
And I do too. And she was always, from day one, ever since we started this thing, she was always team name redacted.
Yeah.
Did everything she could for us at cons, introduced us to people.
People we had no business talking to.
Yeah. Was always trying to get us to the next level of what we wanted to do, and
always down to collaborate, always down to help us as much as she could.
We wouldn't have half the contacts we have now if it weren't for Bryn being who she was. And I mean, if you saw Bryn at a con, she was never in the same place for more than about
20-30 minutes
because it was hard to keep up with her. And we just like watch for the fairy wings, look out for the fairy wings. And God, I'm gonna miss her so much.
Yeah.
I'm such a weirdo when it comes to things like this. I tend to shut down quite a bit, but when I found out, I literally just grabbed my girlfriend Olivia and just told her I loved her. And
same thing.
It's never easy, and Mike, we love you so much, and we will always keep Bryn in our hearts. And I'm rambling, so I'm gonna stop.
Nah, it's this is the kind of thing where rambling happens.
Yeah. We love you, Bryn.
Yes,
very
and
much.
Anyone who listens who knows Mike and Bryn, please reach out to Mike and
he needs
Nat.
He needs to hear from you.
Please do. I saw him yesterday. He said he really appreciates anybody that is willing and able to reach out and give him some words of encouragement and everything else. He's struggling right now, which is understandable. They had been together for 15 years. So it was tough on him, and it still is, and it's going to be for a long time. So please, anybody that can do whatever they need to help, please do.
There is a we shared it on our Facebook page, and we will be putting it in the show notes of this podcast. There is a GoFundMe set up by Mike's good friend and the head writer at Highburn Studios, Todd Davis. There's a GoFundMe. So if you either want to just look in the show notes of this or go to Highburn's page, or go to Todd's page, Mike's page, our page, the information's there. And it's just to sort of help offset the costs that something like this leaves behind, and especially because Bryn was very heavily involved with taking care of her grandparents.
Yes.
So that ends up getting transferred over to Michael.
Yep. And there's no life insurance there or anything, so like it's Mike being a single father now with a 13-year-old is like it's going to be tough for him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough for them, and anything at all that anyone can do to help, we would appreciate it. He would appreciate it. We would just really like it if you guys, like $1, $2, $3, $5, whatever you can spare, anything is going to help. So if you guys can do that and are willing to do that, we really appreciate it and thank you very much. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So now that that's been discussed.
Let's talk about tits.
No, but actually I wanted to bring something up from the con yesterday. It was actually really interesting because it was it was in a mall. Yeah, it was in the mall in Roanoke.
Roanoke has a mall?
Yeah, Roanoke's not a small place, man. Like,
I've only ever driven through it.
Well, it's not in like the Roanoke proper Roanoke.
Okay,
it's on the outskirts.
Isn't that
of Roanoke.
Where King's Dominion is?
The
theme park?
I think so. I'm not.
Yes,
really
yeah, yeah. Because when I was a kid, we went to King's Dominion and Roanoke Rapids. Or what the Wet and Wild Roanoke, or something like that. While we were up there, Roanoke Rapids is a bullshit town in North Carolina, where Chris Daughtry's from.
Yeah.
he's but the he's an avid Batman fan. Anyway,
apparently,
I'm just railroading the shit out of this.
But it was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was the guy that runs the con and sets it up actually stands at the front and asks you how your experience is going and stuff, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I threw him a little bit of our information so he might get in touch with us about helping him out with stuff in the future, which would be nice. He was like, oh, I'd like to do more panels. I was like, it just so happens that we do panels.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I just kind of am taking this opportunity to plug something that I've been doing recently that I really enjoy. Every time I go to conventions, I hand out sketchbooks that are for single characters. And right now I've got 3 going around, one for Hellboy, one for Black Adam, and one for Magneto. And I get everybody to draw their own rendition of those characters. And it's really cool, and it's really fun. And it's awesome to see the differences in the way people take these characters. Because, like, especially with things like Hellboy, where you're like, let's see who goes Mignola style.
And almost nobody has.
And almost nobody really has. Like, everybody takes notes from Mignola. Like, the really, really dark black over black shading kind of thing. But, like,
almost like he did it on a black scratch board.
Yeah.
With white.
Yeah. And, like, you just, like, the Magneto that I have here is done as in a Mignola style, which is like he drew all the black out and then he shaded over the black with more black.
Yes.
And then he took an even darker black and shadowed it in. So when you get right up on it and get a little bit of light on it, you can see all the different blacks on top of each other and it looks really cool. But nobody's done that really with the Hellboy stuff. Like,
it's okay, we'll find Mignola one day.
And he'll do it for me.
And you'll pay $150. No, he's actually not that bad. No, it's a great idea, and I'm totally stealing it for NC Comic Con. I'll probably go to AC Moore whenever I get back from Disney to do
that. It's
like
$5, man.
Yeah.
It's like a $5 sketchbook. But I want to just say this. I'm going to plug one of the artists real quick because he's awesome. Cabby. Oh, my God, dude. Cabby is so great. Cabby has now done a Hellboy, and he's the first sketch in my Magneto book. Dude used the first page and the cover. And, like, I didn't know he was doing it. So I walked over and, like, looked over at him as he was making it happen, and I saw the big fucking Magneto hand on the cover, and I was like, what? At first I thought he was drawing upside down because he was holding the book at this weird angle and, like, leaning over, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And I was like, why is he drawing in... That's the wrong page.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked and saw it like 10 minutes later, and I was like, oh, that is fantastic. So I want to thank Cabby for knocking that shit out of the park, because it's awesome. But yeah, the con was fun. It was really interesting. I hope that actually registers.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Drinking my poison.
I just woke up, so like I got nothing.
John's just been sitting here just ping-ponging.
Yeah. Like, these guys are talking. John got a whole case of wine for really cheap.
How much did you pay for all that?
$60.
Huh.
That's like...
It's $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
Is what I made out with.
Wow. That's a pretty good deal.
That is, and none of those bottles are only $5 bottles of wine.
No, so. I know for a fact that Martini and Rossi Dry Vermouth is at least 10 retail.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up two different, a red vermouth and a dry vermouth, and I got a cream sherry. I think I picked up a port because, like, I was around bottle 10 in my cart, and I was like,
oh, I'm running out of shit to buy.
I was like, well, like, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to buying wine, because I'm breaking into it, so...
Honestly, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. So it's just all like, a matter of what you like. If you like cupcake Pinot Grigio, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Drink it.
It's wine. It's wine. Like, it's not that big a deal.
I mean, so yeah, I was just like walking around and it's almost the same as when I'm shopping for beer that I don't know, like I've never had before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at least I know like, oh, this style of beer is going to taste something along these guidelines. But then I'm usually like at least 80% like, well, that's cool art. Like, I'm going to get that. Like,
oh, well, then I got something to show you. I stopped by Stella Brew last Monday. I was actually looking for a particular bottle of locally made cold brew coffee that they often have at Stella Brew.
I'm talking about do they have the Raleigh Slingshot coffee?
No, it's okay. It's Barista Cooperative. It's like literally made in Winston, like 3 blocks away from Stella Brew. And it's a cold brew coffee, and it's got hops added to it, which I think is pretty interesting. So I walked in, and Matt Deso happened to be there, and of course I'm like asking him about the new beers that they've got, and it turns out Burial Brewing just started canning, and so I picked up a can of their Saison, and this is the can art for it.
Oh, man.
It's fucking gnarly.
Oh, holy crap. Yeah. We're going to put a link to that.
Yeah. and it is hands down probably the best, one of the best saisons I've ever had.
Even in a can.
I love beer out of a can. It doesn't, no light pollution. It's just like drinking out of a mini keg.
Yeah.
And it's got a can liner in it.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was $12 for a 4-pack. Yeah, I spent $24 on 8 beers because I also picked up a 4-pack of, Founders Breakfast Stout.
Oh, that's
my favorite.
Can't go wrong with that.
And it's not my... I'll probably end up buying at least 3 more before the season's over.
Man, everybody that has not gotten into stouts, like, you're doing it wrong.
I'm pushing Olivia down that thing. I'm like, I'm not going to drink IPAs anymore, so you need to get used to the shit that I like.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I still love IPAs, but it's not... We're out of season.
You know what's, like, fucking insane to me? Is, like, just the crazy... And you guys are going to probably rail against me for saying this, but, like, the crazy incessant bitching about pumpkin beer when IPAs are still, like, so fucking out of control.
Oh, I agree.
And, like,
I complain
and,
more about IPAs than I do about pumpkins.
But, like, my argument, like, even if you hate pumpkin beer, like, it's only here for, like, 3 fucking months.
Yeah.
Like, IPAs are around every goddamn... The same ones, too, every season.
Hey, you guys got Jade?
You guys got that 60 minute? God, yes!
Yes!
Of course we do! It's the 60 minute!
It's nothing new. I mean, right on, Dogfish Head. Way to keep it consistent, but fuck!
Stone makes their 400th 72nd new IPA.
How many different IPAs can they come out with?
I don't know. I literally saw another one last week at the grocery store, and like it doesn't have preservatives in it, so you have to drink it by the end of
October. It's called the Best Buy series. Or whatever.
That's a fine idea, but I wish they would stop sucking the dick of hops so goddamn hard.
Well, I mean, if you're so shaky about your building your flavor profile of your beer that you're scared enough to just add more hops, it says a lot. Like,
you know, a lot of people really like IPAs, so like, fuck making something new and different. Just take whatever we were going to make and throw 1,000,000 pounds of hops into it, and that's our new beer.
It's a hoppy brown ale. Yay. How many times can you reinvent the wheel, though?
I want to like Stone because, like, honestly, the first beer I had from them was the Last Guardian, and I really liked
that. It's really good.
And then, like, at the Harris Teeter, I bought, like, it was a 12 mix pack of, it was a variety, and it was, so it was, like, it was the Saison, which the Saison I actually liked because it wasn't, like, stupid hoppy, and it had, like, a lot of spicy notes to it.
Mm-hmm. Even though saisons are usually pretty hoppy.
And
not the burial I have. It's got a good balance.
And then I had the Arrogant Bastard, Pale, and the Go-To IPA. And like those three beers, like, were only slightly distinguishable from each other.
I was about to say, aside from varying malt content and alcohol content, they're the same fucking beer.
And like it surprises me because like if you go online, it's probably because people are so goddamn crazy about IPAs, but I was reading reviews of the Arrogant Bastard and I was like, this is like such a one-note beer though. It's like an ale and then like hops.
Yeah.
Just like a flood of hops running over your mouth.
This hop forward red IPA.
I'm known for complaining about too many IPAs.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, I can't really blame the brewers. It's the consumers that need to start voting with their wallet. If the supply would... Well,
one of the things that I think is killing it is everybody thinks that IPAs are like...
The pinnacle.
Like, well, not just that, but like I feel like everybody's like... Everyone who thinks they want to be a beer snob is like, IPAs are like the most innovative beer. No, they are not. Like... Not even close. Like, literally all it takes to make an IPA is to put ingredients in the thing and then dump a whole barrel of hops into the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, there's not anything creative about it. And I'm sorry, like, and I know that even people with distinguishable people that have great palates have told me, they're like, there's really not that much difference in the taste of IPAs. There's just not.
There are a few, like... that break that mold, but in general, so I would say like I'm with you in that like if you 95% of the IPAs that you pick up off the shelf are going to be within a shade of gray of all the other 95% IPAs that you find,
and then you get your hands on something like Sculpin by Ballast Point that's just fantastic. It's like a 98 rated beer, or then you can get your hands on something like Pliny the Elder. And it's Pliny the Elder is one of the best IPAs I've ever had. That being said, it's still just an IPA. there's so many. There's like Anderson Valley has this fantastic beer that's it's called something 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 and the Holy Ghost, because it's a ghost ale. So it's like sweet, sour, salty. And it's this weird palate that just is delicious. And sour beers are starting to make a comeback.
I'm so excited for when sours get really popular.
But the thing is what I'm worried about, is it going to go the same rate? Is it going to go the same way as IPAs in that it's going to be like just drinking straight lemon juice?
I don't think so, because like, for one, like sours are generally a little bit... From what I know, they're harder to make, so they're going to be more expensive. So
they take at least a year...
They won't be like that everyman type of thing where, you know, you're not going to go to a bar and it's going to be half sours, because, like, the bar won't want to have half sours and people aren't going to want to buy, like...
I can't session drink a sour. I mean, I can have two.
And that's, like, one at the beginning.
Also, getting your hands on a good yeast strain to do a sour...
It's hard.
It's hard. Because it's a lot of wild yeast.
I mean, like, it's not one of those things where... That type of beer is going to become super popular and super common in the degree that IPAs are. And like,
I would say it's unlikely. Impossible, but unlikely.
The spread on that is pretty wide. Like, if I ever walk into a bar and see, like, if I walk into Jake's Billiards and I see a third of their like 30 some odd taps being sours, like, I'll probably have a heart attack. I'll just be like, everything in the bar cost $80! No! Like, I don't even think that would be economically viable for most bars.
The way that... I went into... I hate this place anyway, so I'm not afraid to name check it. I went into Quiet Pint.
You don't like Quiet Pint?
I hate Quiet Pint.
Even the food?
Food's mediocre. I mean, I'm...
I will disagree with you. You are entitled to that opinion, but I disagree.
Like 90% of the taps were above $6 for a pint. I'm just like,
that's too much.
And the one beer that they had was Yingling, and that was $3.50 for a pint.
For a pint of Yingling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just sort of trying to recall from memory, but it was like everything on there was like, a lot of the stuff was 7% and above, and I'm like, I'm just trying to have a burger and a beer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to come in and have to worry about drinking two beers You know, so it's going the way where, you know, you might end up having to go out and spend $8 on a pint of beer in North Carolina.
Which is ridiculous considering how many small brewing companies are here. Like,
I mean, all the pints at Hoots are $5.
I mean, like, it's just, I don't know.
A little bit different.
I have this weird issue with beer in a lot of ways in terms of, like, the way that people act about beer kind of gets on my nerves in some ways. Like, because I love beer, but I love beer for different reasons than you'd say probably the common consumer does. But, like, it's, I don't know, like, there's this whole mix of whether or not, like, you want to be, like, certain levels of pretentious, like, too pretentious, not pretentious enough, and, mm-hmm. and, like, it's just, it's such a weird market for me. Like, it's becoming slightly similar to how I usually view the whiskey market kind of thing, where, like, some guys are just like, yeah, Jack Daniels, and I'm like, why?
Like, there's such better stuff out there.
For, like, a better price point, too. Like, and like,
how about you go put on your grown-up pants and buy a real bourbon instead of a pretend bourbon, Mr. Yeah. Jack Daniel's.
I agree 100% with that statement.
Yeah.
Well, it's not bourbon because it's charcoal maple filtered. It's like, yeah, it's garbage Tennessee fucking dirt water is what it is. I fucking hate Jack Daniel's.
It's not good.
I'll drink Evan Williams before I'll drink Jack Daniel's. It's just at the entirely wrong price point for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is my consensus.
Like, if I can get Jack Daniel's for the same price as Woodford, like, why the fuck would I not get Woodford?
Or Eagle Rare, which is also very good.
Yeah.
But what really burns my ass is listening to people at the bar try to give tasting notes on beer, and I'm like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's okay to be ignorant. It's perfectly fine. You'll learn a lot more admitting that you're ignorant.
Yeah, but don't pretend like you know everything and then get mad when someone corrects you.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like, I was had a coworker talking about the old Mecklenburg Mecktoberfest, which is a...
I bought that.
It's very good.
I liked it.
It's just a Marzen-style lager, yeah. Perfect for this time of year. And she was like, yeah, it's got some, like, you know, spice notes. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have any spice notes.
No, it doesn't. A little, you know, it tastes like fall. Yeah, it tastes like fall, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. I do, like, we had that, like, maybe 3 weeks ago.
That's good.
And, like, there's no spice in it.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah, but I had a...
There's zero spice notes in it, and that's why I like it.
The funny thing was I went out...
I got this shit beer. I don't know. Throw some pumpkin puree and some nutmeg at it. See what happens.
We went out to have dinner last night with the Highburn guys, and, like, I went over to their bar to see what they had on tap for beer, and, like, I did something which I never do, which is I was so unimpressed with their selection because they were one of those places that had only, like, 6, 7, 8 beers, something like that, on mm-hmm. tap, and, like, they had, like, 2 IPAs, 2 seasonals, and then, like, Miller, Bud, Yingling, and Shock Top. White Belgian.
That's pretty standard.
And, like, I asked to try one of the seasonals, and they could not tell me what it was like. They didn't. They were like, oh, no. Like, okay, first of all, that's a flag.
Yeah,
that's a flag. So they gave it to me, and the girl, before I started drinking it, she was like, we had a lot of people ask to try it, and, like, after they try it, a lot of people really love it. And I looked down at it, and I was like, this is orange. And I was like, I know what this is. And I took a sip of it and put it down, and the guy next to me is like, what is it? And I was like, it's pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
And he was like, is it good? I was like, it's just like every other fucking pumpkin beer. Like, it's every other pumpkin beer. Except, I'll give them this. It was way more toned down. Like, it was not as in your face, and it was much mellower, and it tasted a little bit more like beer. But this is the only time in my life I think I've ever turned to, like, the bartender and gone, just let me get the Shock Top White.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, I'll have a Budweiser, I guess. Thanks.
Like, because the Shock Top was $2.25. And I was like, you know what? I'll take a $2.25 pint. If it's Shock Top or Yingling, I love Yingling and everything, but, like, I can get Yingling for $2.25 almost anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll take a Shock Top White because I get an orange with it. So, like,
it's a beer and a snack.
Yeah, so, like, why not? Oh, man. But, yeah, it gets really annoying after a while to, like, have to deal with certain bars that only really choose certain types of beer to put on tap.
Right now on tap, we have 2 Oktoberfest, 2 Wheats.
That's it?
Well, no, we've got more than that. We've got 2 Oktoberfest, 2 Wheats, Coors Light, and Jade IPA, and Bold Rock Hard Cider.
Oh, they had Angry Orchard there, too.
I like Bold Rock Hard Cider, man. Bold Rock over ice with some orange juice. It's good shit.
See, I think that's what you should do with things like ciders, like, for the most part. I think they should be mixed with other things.
Apple cider plus Blenheim's ginger ale? Holy shit, it is so good.
Yeah, like, I feel like ciders are the mimosa of beer.
Well, that's why I drink them, because I can't drink sparkling white wine.
Yeah. So,
because sulfites.
Because kidney stones.
Because screaming massive fucking headaches.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But yeah, no, I don't know. I get tired of it. Like,
I don't know. I like what I like. I can drink PBR or I can drink a Dragon's Milk bourbon stout. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, I do like me some Dragon's Milk. Anyway.
I drank one the other night, drank the whole thing, and I was like, shit, that's 10.5%.
Yep.
Why did I do that to myself?
That happened to me the other day. Like, I got a small growler of it and had a glass, and I was just like, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, it's bad when, like, you have to be careful, because, like, if you bring, like, that and any other beer to a party, you're like, I had 2 beers, and you're wasted.
Yeah. Like, I had somebody sit at the bar the other day and drink 4 Jades.
Whoa.
And stood up, and they were like, shit. I was like, you didn't know what you were drinking, did you?
You might want to sit back down, sir.
And he was like, why? I was like, that's like 7.3. And, it, you know, he was like, really? I was like, sit down. And I made him a glass of water and had him hang out for a little bit.
Like, maybe you should take a seat.
Like, I assume that you know what you're getting in. Buy the ticket, take the ride.
Yeah.
Like, I figure everybody knows what they're doing. Speaking of, I leave for Disney and, like, 5 days.
Yeah.
Super excited.
I've never been, so.
It's my first time.
I'm going to want to know how that is.
You're doing Disney, 3 days at Universal, and Hollywood Horror Nights.
Jesus.
Yeah. Real excited. 9 haunted houses. 3 mazes. And alcohol. So, pretty into it. There's a Crimson Peak maze, which I'm really excited about, because that's the new Guillermo del Toro movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Alien vs. Predator, Freddy vs. Jason, Halloween, The Purge, Insidious.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm Walking Dead.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I've always wondered how cool it would be to be like one of the like scary actor people in the maze.
I'd love to do it. Yeah. I would fucking love it.
I know one of your friends was like the poster for Woods of Terror 2 years ago, right? She was the face on the billboards for Woods of Terror, right?
God, I drank too much.
It was either you or Chris.
It's probably Chris.
It's probably Chris.
Yeah.
When you say you drank too much, I'm looking at this giant can of Monster thinking that, like, the Monster has addled your senses.
It could be.
I think you said, I drank too much, as in, like...
Like, past...
In total. Okay. The total amount of drinks has been too much.
Oh, no, John. I'm hammered.
This is Colin regulating.
Right Colin now. Got hammered, and the solution is to drink a lot of Monster.
Yeah.
To write that wrong.
So my heart explodes.
But I call that turbo drunk. Coined that term with my friend Will.
That's amazing. Four Loko invented that.
Which one's really regular trash?
Smaller one. We have one thing that I definitely want to plug before we go. NC Comic Con is coming up in about a month and like what is it?
No, not about a month, quite literally.
Well, a month and 2 days.
Yeah.
But by the time they hear this, you hear this, audience, listeners, fans, whatever.
Chris.
We will be doing that in right around a month. It's the weekend of the 13th, 14th, and 15th in November. Come out to NC Comic Con. We got some pretty cool stuff going on that we're going to be doing up there, so please come check it out. Also, it's going to be a fun show. Gerard Way is going to be there.
Charlie Adlard is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cool people will be there.
Lots of fun panels, because I found out about the panels are fun. Film festival, concerts, after hours stuff, workshops.
I think they're also doing like indie movie stuff. I don't know if they are or not this year.
But I know there's a film festival.
Yeah.
I think you can Friday night or Saturday night, you could probably find one or more of us at the Baxter.
Yep.
hanging out, schmoozing. Come up, take a picture, touch our butts.
Yep.
Tell us what you hate about the show. Don't really care.
Yeah. Don't really give a shit. Like, I just want to drink and talk to people.
It's yeah,
really
and play video games.
Video games. I've
already warned my girlfriend. I was like, just so you know, after parties, drinking and schmoozing.
Yeah.
And they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You have to do both.
Yeah.
Still got to find a place to stay. If you know anywhere I can stay in Durham.
I might just be getting a hotel. I'm going to be honest. Like,
I just can't afford to do one on my own is my problem.
Luckily, I have a girlfriend to help out.
Well, so do I.
Yeah.
But
you guys want to do picks?
Yeah, that's fine.
Do short.
My pick is Battlefront. Play it. It's fun. I played the beta. Been playing the beta this weekend. It kind of feels like the old game. A little bit different. No classes. But you can kind of build your own class as you see fit through secondary and primary weaponry. It plays really fast and really fun. I enjoyed the shit out of it. So pick it up when it comes out. Don't pre-order it, though. Just pick it up when it comes out.
I'm going to plug a product. I really like my Google Chrome. I think it's...
Chromecast?
Or Chromecast. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Google Chrome. The Chromecast thing. I think it's really cool. I'm unfortunately going to have to, like...
Shush it.
I'm unfortunately going to have to, like, bribe my parents into giving me their service provider code so I can watch...
That's the only shitty thing. It's like, please log into your cable, and it's like, that defeats the fucking purpose.
So I'm just going to have to ask my parents for their cable provider code or whatever so I can just use my Chromecast with their provider.
That's what I do with my mom and HBO.
Yeah. It's really good, and it's only, like, $30.
Mm-hmm.
It really is it's a useful tool. Anybody that has a chance to check one out and get it, like I recommend.
Super cool if your TV has a USB port, a secondary USB port, because it's bus powered.
Yeah, that's what I have upstairs. We don't have one down. No, we do have one down here, but it's hard to get to a chain HDMI thing. Anyway, John.
I have a pick and an anti-pick.
Yeah. All right.
So my pick is I'm going over the fence, and I am picking Mad Men as a thing that I like.
Okay.
He must have
gotten over the hump.
It did. Like, after watching it, like, well, I'm in, like, the last season now. So, like, after watching it this much, I'm like, there's, like, just so many small, really good moments in the show. And, like, aside from Jon Hamm just being really good, like, it seems like it's well-directed and, like, very well-written. And there's, like... It just has, like, these small, weird scenes that I really appreciate. Like, there was a scene where, spoilers, John Hamm or Donald Draper has affairs. So, in case you
know. That's, like, season one, episode one.
That's, like, well, it's, like, almost every episode.
Yeah.
He sleeps with a woman who's not his wife. But in some part of the show, he's having an affair, and, like, she breaks it off. The affair woman breaks it off with him.
The side piece.
And, like, he's, like... He, like, really is interested in her, and he's, like, he'll, like, go outside of her apartment and, like, the back entrance and, like, just, like, sit by the door and smoke cigarettes, and then, like, he, like, leaves really suddenly because he, like, hears something, and then the camera just, like, panned down to, like, a pile of, like, five cigarettes, like, on the floor, like, five cigarette butts.
That's pretty cool. Like, that's a nice little thing.
It was really cool, but,
I will also praise Mad Men for its clever use of doors.
The only caveat I would say is if you're going to watch Mad Men, it's a show you actually have to pay attention to. Like, you really can't watch it, like, on your laptop. Like, you have to treat it like a good film. Like, you need to sit down and pay attention and recognize what's going on. So if you're not willing to do that, you won't like it, because you'll just be like, what's this show's just about a guy who drinks too much.
And if that's your takeaway, you're not paying attention. I couldn't binge watch it. I literally had to just watch, like, a 3-episode block and be done because of my weaponized ADD. But I like the show from what I've seen of it.
Really?
What's your anti-pick?
Really quick, my anti-pick is both the professors I'm taking classes from right now, because... Like, I'm taking these two online classes in addition to working full-time, and they've both made it a nightmare because, like, one professor, like, has not updated the due dates of the class, so, like, half of them are still 2014. and
so then those days are now Saturdays and Sundays.
Like, it's just fucking weird, and like, and it's just plain unprofessional. And secondly, like, he'll post an assignment, and if you look at the assignment description in one place, it's one thing, and if you look at it in another place, it's totally different. And there's just all these conflicting thing, like all these conflicting assignment descriptions, and like,
so in other words, this is the second semester this guy's ever taught.
On one page, it's like,
do this. He was a TA 3 weeks ago.
On one page, it's like, do this with three paragraphs, and on another page, it's like two paragraphs, and like, do the discussion board, respond to one person, make sure you respond to two people like you always have to. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, just get it together, for Christ's sakes. And the other one, like, he's like, assigned me two giant papers at the same fucking time. And like, the first one he assigned is due November 8th, which is not the same time the rest of the things in the module, because he posts things in like a block module where you have like 3 weeks to get everything done.
Right.
And it's, the due date is like on the page and it's highlighted, but it's for like November 8th. So it's like outside the module. And I sent him an email about it, and he just never, it's been over a week and he hasn't fucking responded. And I'm just like, what the fuck is with these guys? Like, why can't they just get it together? Like, it's simple. You make an assignment and it's the same assignment. The end.
I will add one very, very fast anti-pick as well. Canvas, which is what took over for Blackboard, fuck you, Instructure, for making that. Because
it's awful.
It's so annoying and confusing and terrible. Like, I fucking hate Canvas. It's so bad. And, like, I thought that Blackboard was bad.
Blackboard's terrible.
Canvas is worse. So, like,
is the UI at least a little bit better?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's all, like, nothing is good.
Okay.
So, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening.
Because I need to go home and take my clothes off and do that shower thing.
We will have all the stuff we need in the show notes up for you. And thank everyone for tuning in as always. Get your friends to subscribe. And
also, rate and comment on iTunes.
Please,
apparently
do that.
That fucking matters. Yeah. I don't know, guys. I know I sound like every YouTuber I hate.
Yeah.
But it matters.
It's going to help us get...
It's not because we want to feel good about ourselves, no. But it gets us visibility and...
And that's going to help us get cooler stuff for you guys, too. So, you know, rate, comment, subscribe, listen, all that good stuff. Tell all your friends. Thank everyone for tuning in. As always, I'm Alexander Fulmer.
Colin Norris.
John Michael Thomas.
What? We ruined it.
Go ahead and touch him butts.
Okay, that'll work. I'll take that.
Good.
Okay.
I was totally going to steal that from you. Just be like, hey, go touch some butts.
Oh, that would have been awesome.